Bret Hart, Owen Hart, Mark Calloway, Superstar Graham Andre, Jake the Snake, Honky Tonk Man, Brian Pillman, The Stomper, Mukka Singh, Jerry Morrow, Great Gamma, Dynamite Kid, Davey Boy Smith, David Schultz, Bad News Allen, Rocky Johnson, Harley Race, Chris Jericho, Adrian Adonis, Greg Valentine, Abdullah the Butcher, Junkyard Dog, Killer Kowalski, Kerry Brown, Duke Myers, Cuban Assassin, Mr. Hito, Magician Liger, Jim Neidhart. That's just what I wrote down in the intermission, off the top of my head. Guys mentioned in the book that started, came through Stampede Wrestling. The book is straight from the heart. He is Bruce Hart, and he played a large role in many of those careers. Bruce, I got a ton of questions, so I'm going to kind of rapid-fire you some of them. This Calgary Stampeders football team and Stampede Wrestling have a really interesting relationship. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it is actually fascinating over the years, as far back as Woody Strode, who was the captain of the 48 Grey Cup champions. He was one of the first, but my dad had a myriad of these guys, including Wayne Coleman, who went on to become Superstar Billy Graham, was the first WWF world champion and a big superstar and the inspiration for Hulk Hogan, and of course the infamous Brian Pillman, and other guys like Bob Luke and John Helton, who also had pretty successful wrestling careers and were well known to the football fans. So that was kind of funny. I think my dad's roots is football. He was a football player back in the day in with the Edmonton Eskimos. He actually had a few Eskimos too, like Gene Kaniski and Wilbur Snyder and Joe Blanchard and Bruiser Brody, who were also so actually quite a few CFLers. I think Lex Luger was a CFL guy too, and I was told that Steve Austin tried out, but his knee was too bad or something like that. But interesting.
Tell me about it. It's fascinating. Tell me about Hawaii and what it was like to wrestle in the promotion over there.
That was kind of weird.
Peter Mavaya, maybe.
Yeah, my brother Dean talked me into going over there, and I was maybe about 190 or barely 200 at the time, and they made me the heel champion down there, and mostly because I think all the fans were Samoans, and almost all the guys I was working with were these 300-pound Samoans, like Afa Sika and Peter Maivia himself, and Haku, and Rocky Johnson, who was Peter's son-in-law and the father of Dwayne Johnson, who I used to see hanging around all the time, and it was pretty strange because Peter was legitimately a high chief, and so I was always doing all this dastardly healing and being an obnoxious villain, and the security guards were all Samoans down there too, and sometimes, you know, you had these near riots, and it was like kind of somewhat sacrilegious to be assaulting the high chief. You know, it was like beating the Pope up in the Vatican or something like that. And a few times I had to wade through the crowd. I think I mentioned that one parable was kind of funny in the book, but my brother Keith had come over there for a few shots, and the first night out we're having this match with Peter Maivia and Rocky Johnson, and Peter was bleeding and Rocky was bleeding, and Peter was supposed to come back from the dressing room and run us out, but I think he either was bleeding too bad or he had passed out or something, so ended up we had to go back, wade through the crowd, and I'm surveying the situation at the end of the match, and there's about 1,000 Samoans screaming for our blood, and I kind of laughingly told Keith, do you remember that scene at the end of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid with the Bolivian Army? And he kind of glared at me and said, there's no time for movie trivia or whatever. And I said, we're going to wade through the crowd just like that. And he kind of gave me this look like I was out of my mind. And then we ended up doing that. And they sort of parted like the Red Sea. Was kind of weird. And so it was, but yeah, it was pretty wild in Hawaii. Though, I had a lot of fun over there, though. It was a different thing for me to be healing over there.
You alluded to some of the innovations that Stampede Wrestling brought forth, and we're all so accustomed now to the big entrance with, you know, the custom theme song or the classic rock theme song. I'm fascinated, and you don't have to get too far into detail, but this all starts because you go to Oktoberfest and wrestle in Germany, right?
Oh, totally, yeah. And over there they had all these marching band things, and we used to refer to it as Adolf Hitler's greatest hits over there, all these... Third Reich type songs, but I noticed it really kind of got the crowd pumped up. So I came back, and when I took over the booking for my dad, I think the first two, I think we had that ended up as Randy Savage's theme song later on in WWF for Dynamite. And I used to come to the ring to the song called Heartache Tonight with the Eagles. And
sure.
And I remember when I first told my dad it would add a bit of flavor, and he was like, being pretty old school, he was like pretty thumbs down about it. But he finally, as he often did, kind of let me give it a shot. And it became kind of a pretty good way to pump the crowd up. And then I think my brother Brett next had this song called Young and Restless or something like that. That was his theme song, and it sort of evolved from there. It was about 5 years later, WWE was taking bows and making out like they were revolutionizing the wrestling business. And it's like, geez, we did that 5 years ago. It's sort of the same one when they started Monday Night Raw back in the 90s. My dad had been doing you know, live tapings at his house shows since the 60s. And right. At that time, everyone was kind of laughing at my dad and saying, you're, you know, giving away something for free that they should be paying for. And my dad didn't see it that way. He thought it was, you know, putting your best foot forward. And I remember even WWF used to sneer at us up till the late 80s about, you know, how, you know, pig-headed or stupid we were kind of showing the fans the live stuff when they should be paying for it. And then later on, WWF's doing Raw and making out like, once again, that Vince McMahon's this kind of creative genius or whatever.
You know, it's interesting because I think it's easy to, if you're not a wrestling fan, to go, well, this doesn't relate to anything. It does, because there's so many components of the business world and other worlds that relate to wrestling. And I'll give you an example. In radio, we're almost led to believe that there's no other radio stations. The only radio station is the Fan 960. That's it. Well, it doesn't work that way. The guys at CJ do a great job, et cetera, et cetera. You and Brian Pillman, I believe, were the first to kind of throw open the curtain and say, you know what, there's other promotions, because there was a second bad company when you guys were bad company, Pat Tanaka and Paul Diamond in the AWA. And if I have my history correct, did you not challenge them openly? Which was kind of unheard of.
Oh yeah, that was kind of sort of cutting edge stuff at the time. And you know, that was one of the, you know, I'm glad you sort of pointed that out, but at that time it was exactly like you said, and that was a good analogy, where you know, you almost sort of get so egocentric where you don't think there's any other promotions, or you'd always never refer to any. And I was trying to get my dad on that track in the 80s there, where we were trying to interact with the other promotions and bring the champion from Minneapolis, or the champion from Texas or Florida or Tennessee or whatever, and that kind of thing. And I'd like to have seen it go a bit farther, right around that time when Vince started coming in and kind of systematically killing everyone off, and it never quite flew, but I'm glad you pointed that out.
He is Bruce Hart. The book is Straight from the Heart, and I can't give it any higher recommendation than I absolutely loved it and consumed it very quickly. It's available at Chapters. I'm sure you can get it online at Amazon.ca. I want to end with, and it's you keep bringing his name up and his organization up, Vince McMahon, the WWE. What's interesting to me about this is that on the back of the jacket of the book, there's a quote from Vince McMahon, and the book actually ends with an open letter to Vince McMahon. And you know, Bruce, it's kind of a love-hate relationship, mostly hate, I would suggest, but a love-hate relationship that you have with that organization.
Yeah, I'd say my passion for the business, and given the fact that they seem to be the only thing, I certainly support them, you know. And at the same time, I all too often find myself shaking my head at how many times they've shot themselves in the foot. And biggest indication to me that wrestling fans would like to see a return to some semblance of conventional wrestling or old school or whatever you want to call it is the meteoric rise of UFC, which is my dad used to say was nothing different than wrestling was back in, when he first started, minus the octagon. And so, you know, I keep hoping that if nothing else, Vince will hear me and accept it at face value, you know, regardless of whatever our interpersonal dynamics are. You know, I keep thinking, you know, I just throw ideas at him because I a lot of them are tried and true, and I think ultimately he needs to do some of the things I said he needs to do, including resow the seeds at the grassroots and get back more to the middle of the road, you know, and have, you know, he's got this more is better mindset, Vince, where he has 20 belts and 50 divas and run-ins in every match and swerve finishes and all of that. And what he really needs to do is go back to, one belt and, you know, most of the, I used to use the analogy in the book, he needs to use the run, which is wrestling, to set up the past, which is the high spots and the BS, you know. And if you have about 1/10 as much of the crap and 10 times more wrestling, I think you'd have a lot better result. But the big problem they have right now is they don't have too many guys that actually can wrestle. They got all these damn one-trick ponies and these stuntmen and these, you know, juice freaks and whatever else masquerading as wrestlers, and not too many of them are capable of actually going out and sustaining a match, or just going out and working, as we used to call it. And that's one of the big problems, and that's why they need to restore some of the Stampede type promotions and give these guys a place to actually learn how to work and, you know, trial and error and whatever. And there's no substitute for that. It'd be like taking a bunch of hockey players that have never skated and done anything at the junior level and putting them on the ice and, you know, maybe having them fight and wear colorful costumes and cheerleaders and all like that. But the product itself has kind of been lost in the shuffle. And I'm hoping that, you know, he might listen and hear some of the things I've said, you know, because I... been there, done it, and you know, I'm not talking from an unenlightened perspective.
What's the future hold for you, Bruce?
I'm not sure. You know, I'm just take it one day at a time. That's about all you can do. But I'm hoping, you know, see what happens in the wrestling end, or, you know, see where the book goes or wherever else, you know, as long as I'm more or less at peace with myself, that's cool.
Are you missing a piece of yourself, though, by not being involved in the day-to-day? Not because it's amazing to me throughout this book, you throw in enough in there that leads me to believe you are absolutely on top of everything that's going on in this industry right now.
Yeah,
I just can't help but think that there's a little piece of you missing.
Oh, totally. In fact, much to my chagrin, the editors changed the opening of the book, but the opening line of the book originally was, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave from Hotel California.
And, sure.
And I said that sort of summed up my affiliation with the wrestling business, and that's sort of the truth, you know. I'd be more than happy to be back in it, because I feel I can contribute something to it. At the same time, and I'm sort of, if it doesn't happen, I guess I'm not going to, and I've kind of weaned myself to some degree, but I still feel I have something to offer, you know, and especially when I see so many of the things that are not being done the way they should be done right now, you know. I think, you know, in my estimation, the wrestling business is only scratched the surface. Most people think it's kind of peaked at Hulkamania or whatever, and it's on its downhill descent right now. But I'd say with the global telecommunication boom and the fact that wrestling's about as primal as you can get, you know, it should be, you know, booming right now all over the world. You know, you see this mixed martial arts, which for me is all right. You know, it's... in fact, I believe if mixed martial arts is going to survive or sustain itself, it'll have to start taking pages out of the wrestling book and having, you know, guys trash talking and being outrageous and maybe weird hairdos and dyed hair and all this other stuff. You know, I think they'll have to kind of go that route a bit, you know, but I think wrestling's only scratched the surface, but it's at this kind of, you know, precarious state right now where it could, you know, take off if they did some things right, or it could go the way of the XFL, too.
Scratch the surface is the best way to describe my questions, because we scratch the surface of the book. There's so much to it. I suppose the biggest compliment I can pay to it, I really genuinely enjoyed it. But I would suggest, if you have no interest in wrestling, this is still a book for you because of the education process that goes on. It was stark. It was very dark at times, Bruce, but I congratulate you on a terrific book, and I really do appreciate the time. Thank you so much for giving it to us, and best of luck, my friend. I know we'll stay in touch, but it's a fabulous book, and I encourage everybody to go out and get it.
I much appreciate that, Rob, and look forward to talking to you next time.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you, brother.